The scripture reading this morning on this Thanksgiving's Day is Psalm 65. Psalm 65. To the chief musician, a psalm and song of David. Praise waiteth for thee, O God, in Zion, and unto thee shall the vow be performed. O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. Iniquities prevail against me. As for our transgressions, thou shalt purge them away. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. By terrible things in righteousness wilt thou answer us, O God of our salvation, who art the confidence of all the ends of the earth, and of them that are afar off upon the sea, which by his strength setteth fast the mountains, being girded with power, which stilleth the noise of the seas, the noise of their waves, and the tumult of the people. They also that dwell in the uttermost parts are afraid at thy tokens. Thou makest the outgoings of the morning and evening to rejoice. Thou visitest the earth and waterest it. Thou greatly enrichest it with the river of God, which is full of water. Thou preparest them corn when thou hast so provided for it. Thou waterest the ridges thereof abundantly. Thou settlest the furrows thereof. Thou makest it soft with showers. Thou blessest the springing thereof. Thou crownest the year with thy goodness, and thy paths drop fatness. They drop upon the pastures of the wilderness, and the little hills rejoice on every side. The pastures are clothed with flocks. The valleys also are covered over with corn. They shout for joy. They also sing. And the text for the sermon is verse 11. Thou crownest the year with thy goodness, and thy paths drop fatness. Beloved congregation, Psalm 65 is a psalm of praise. And various reasons can be given for that, why God should be praised. And these reasons are stated in this psalm. Already in verse 2, an important reason is given. O thou that hearest prayer. That already is a wonder of grace. Why should God hear our prayers? We who have transgressed all his commandments and have not kept one of them, and yet the Lord hears prayer, the petitions of unworthy people. That's one reason already, to praise God. Another reason is verse 3, our transgressions thou shalt purge them away, that God forgives sin and blots them out. It's a wonder of grace that the Lord washes away the iniquity and the filth of sinners, that he delights in mercy. Shall his church not praise him for that? And the third reason is stated in verse 4, how the Lord God receives unworthy people so kindly. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest, and causes to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. What a privilege that the Lord picks up runaway people and changes their hearts. The Lord does not have to do that. He is under no obligation, but that a runaway child is drawn back by grace and that he is planted in the front courts of the Lord's house. What mercy that the Lord receives people so kindly. And then the fourth reason is found in the glorious and gracious works the Lord undertakes for his people. In verse 5, by terrible things in righteousness wilt thou answer us, O God of our salvation. And the word terrible is awe-inspiring deeds of righteousness. Think of the people of Israel led out of Egypt, how that went, and how they went through the Red Sea, and how they conquered the land of Canaan. It's all God's mercies. And so, praises must be given. The Lord causes mountains to be set down. The Lord silences the noise of the seas. Verses 6 and 7. These are the gracious works the Lord does for his people. That's a reason to praise him. Another reason, a fifth reason, is that the Lord God gives fertility to the earth. The Lord gives rain and causes the crops to grow. In verse 9, thou visitest the earth and waterest it. In verse 13, the pastures are clothed with flocks. The valleys also are covered over with corn. And then verse 11, our text, thou crownest the year with thy goodness, and thy paths drop fatness. So if we drive home after church and we see the fields, it all speaks of God's goodness. We see the crops that the farmers can harvest. It's all God's goodness. And that the fish are teeming in the lakes and in the waters. God does this all. This is something that the psalm emphasizes. It's God's work. We should never forget when a plant flourishes, it's God's work. When your vegetable garden, the plants grow and you can harvest it, it's God's work. That's emphasized in this psalm, the word thou. If you look at the verses 8 through 11, you find 10 times the word thou emphasized there. Thou makest the outgoings of the morning and evening to rejoice. Thou visitest the earth and waterest it. Thou greatly enrichest it with the river of God, which is full of water. Thou preparest them corn when thou hast so provided for it. Thou waterest the ridges thereof abundantly. Thou settlest the furrows thereof. Thou makest it soft with showers. Thou blessest the springing thereof. Thou crownest the year with thy goodness. So this whole psalm speaks of God's undeserved goodness, his care in nature, in daily life, in sustaining our lives. And that's why this psalm is so suitable to reflect upon a Thanksgiving Day service. In verse 11, our text, thy paths drop fatness. And the result of that is what we find further in verse 12 and 13. They drop upon the pastures of the wilderness, and the little hills rejoice on every side. There is fertility, there is growth, there are crops on every side. The pastures, they are clothed with flocks. The valleys also are covered over with corn. They shout for joy. They also sing. This psalm cannot express the fullness of God's care. And so we should realize God's care, that thou crownest the year with thy goodness, and thy paths drop fatness. And so we meditate this morning on the riches of God's goodness. And we see that in the realm of nature, in the realm of grace, and we also see the calling of man. So first then we see the riches of God's goodness in the realm of nature. God blesses the earth. And we have seen God's blessing upon us. The Lord has given rain and sunshine. The Lord has been good, and we were not worthy of it. Scripture makes a comparison, a connection between sin and drought. Jeremiah 14 speaks about that. That droughts are a sign of God's displeasure. Now we deserve drought. Other countries do have drought. And we cannot say that we are better than they are, or that they are worse than we are. No, our country is sliding away from God. We deserve drought. But the Lord has yet given us that his feet drop fatness. The Lord has given rain and sunshine. In the past year, seeding and planting could take place. And then the farmers and the growers, they had to wait. What did they have to wait for? They had to wait until God would crown the year with his goodness. They had to wait until God would give the increase. They had to wait until God would cause the valleys to be covered with corn and the pastures be clothed with flocks. And that's what happened. We cannot cause a plant to grow. It's God's work. We do not deserve a harvest or crops. Our sins testify against us. And yet the Lord has been very good to us in giving us such a harvest. Psalm 65 is a beautiful picture of rural life. We see the rain in its season watering the seeds and the plants and the grass. It settles the furrows, causes the seed to swell. And it shoots down roots. Plants come forth, and they bud and they blossom. The crowning of the year we see in these weeks of harvest, and men's hearts rejoicing before God according to the joy of harvest. And the valleys, they shout and they sing for joy. If only you listen. You listen through faith. And if only you observe all those fields even around our church building, and you do that by faith, then you realize they are singing the praises of God who made them. We see the miracles of God all around us. And that while our sins testify against us, the Lord has yet crowned the year with his goodness. So the Lord, as it were, places the crown of his goodness, of a rich harvest upon the earth. And we see also now all around us God's crown upon the earth. Full barns. Luther comments on this psalm. It's beautiful how Luther writes about it. He says then in the spring, the blossoms appear first, and then shortly after that, the strawberries and the cherries, and before long, the plums, the apples, and berries of various juice. To that, we can add the herbs that grow nearly all year round and supply rich smells and fragrance. At harvest time, the barns are filled with wheat, barley, rye, corn and grain of every kind. In autumn, our presses are flowing with wine of various tastes and fragrance. So the Lord blesses us with his goodness. That's how Luther beautifully commented on this psalm. We also see here in this psalm, actually, the blessing that the Lord has given four seasons. Have you ever thought about that? Why the Lord has divided the year into four seasons. They're all necessary. A scientist wrote that if any change in the length of the year were to take place, the botanical world will be thrown in disorder, and the functions of plants would be deranged, and the whole vegetable kingdom would decay. Most of our fruit trees, they require the year of its present length. If the summer and the autumn were much shorter, the fruit could not ripen. If these seasons would be much longer, there would be other complications. The whole of nature is created by God to function within the revolutions of the year and the various seasons. And therein we see God's sustaining grace, His blessing. Thou crownest the year with thy blessing, with thy goodness, thy paths drop fatness. The word path can also be translated with footsteps, so that the Lord, as it were, walks across this earth, and His footsteps leave a blessing behind. The Lord set His footsteps amongst us, and He leaves a blessing behind. The Lord drops rain and showers, gives fatness. And that word fatness is very positive. You find that word fatness in what Isaac said to Jacob in Genesis 27. Therefore God give thee of the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth, and plenty of corn and wine. So fatness refers then to fertility and fruitfulness. So that's what the Lord gives, fatness to the earth. And therefore water is given. And the Lord sees to it that the great reservoirs of water, that the water evaporates and is purified. And it's in the clouds, and it comes upon the earth, and it rains pure water. The Lord does that all. And so the Lord takes care of His creation. God's paths drop fatness. And wherever the Lord walks, places His footsteps, there will be fertility. And when a barren land is visited by Him, it will have the smell of a field that the Lord has greatly blessed. We must say of man that his paths drop destruction and ruin. Man's paths drop decay and contamination. You see it by the armies of this world. You see it by the big industry that causes contamination. One sees lots of garbage because man's footsteps drop misery and rubbish. But God's footsteps, they drop fatness and blessing. Kings on their path of war leave famine behind, but God's footsteps drop fatness and abundance. If we look at what's happening in Ukraine, because of the war, villages are destroyed, crops are destroyed. It's misery that is left behind, but the Lord gives mercy, abundance. And all these blessings, we must realize they are merited by the Lord Jesus Christ. He came into this world to suffer for sin, so that rain and sunshine, springtime and harvest time would continue. The Lord Jesus earned daily food and drink, and therefore He had to suffer. Therefore He was born in poverty, so that He could give everything to people who had become unspeakably poor. He could provide for needy sinners, and therefore he descended into utter poverty. He suffered hunger and thirst so that you could be fed, that you could have to drink. His clothes were removed of the Lord Jesus so that you would have clothes to wear. He suffered the curse that is upon us. He was deprived of all blessings. His God did not want to have anything to do with him. He was in outer darkness. And now the sun can shine upon us. And the Lord can place his footsteps among us. The rain can come down, but for him there was not a drop of water. He cried out, I thirst. He merited all these daily blessings. But then we can draw the line further. It's not only in the realm of nature, but also in the realm of grace. Thou crownest the year with thy goodness, and thy paths drop fatness. They are an illustration of God's blessing in the realm of grace. In Psalm 36, verse 8, they shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house. Thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. That's all salvation. That's mercy. That's abundance of grace. In Psalm 63, verse 5, my soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. And my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. There you see that this fatness that the Lord gives is referred to as spiritual grace. My soul will be satisfied. So thy paths drop fatness. If you look at nature, the rain falls, it softens the earth. The clods of soil are made soft. But then if you look at the spiritual realm, when God's Spirit works, and he is compared in Scripture to rain, when the rain of the Holy Spirit comes into your life and heart, and your heart that was hardened becomes softened, becomes receptive. And so Christ can drop drops of the Holy Spirit into hearts of sinners, and they see the foolishness of their deeds. They are stopped, and the love of Christ affects them. They see his goodness and mercy. They are humbled by it. And in the realm of nature, rain causes fruit to come forth. If the rain is not given, then the labor of the farmer is in vain, and the plants will wither. But that's also the case in spiritual sense. When the Lord gives his Holy Spirit, then that will cause fruit to come forth. Fruit of faith, repentance. They will see their sins. They will seek salvation in Christ. In themselves they are but dry and barren branches. But the Lord is pleased to have his footsteps through their lives, and he drops fatness, that these people are refreshed by the fruit, by the power of the Holy Spirit, and they bring forth repentance and humility and love, their fruits. Rain also has a recreating impact. It causes withered plants to be revived. And so the Holy Spirit, when he works in one's life, then matters change in one's life. In the realm of nature, when the rain comes down and there's fruitfulness, then the birds start to sing. Then joy is present. And when the Lord with his Holy Spirit enters a soul, then joy is found in one's life and heart. And then there is rich blessing. People are made new. The Holy Spirit poured out upon dead sinners, and they receive new life. Think of how the Lord dropped fatness along his paths with his church. We think of how God laid his son in the grave as a grain of wheat. And on the third day he arose in glory with power and might. And the Lord crowned the year of his redeemed with goodness. The disciples were amazed. They were filled with joy. And then 50 days after that, on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 souls were harvested. The Lord crowned the years of his redeemed with goodness. He set his footsteps among them. And people were converted. There was great joy in Jerusalem upon that day when 3,000 people were converted. They ate their bread with gladness. And so we can think of how the Lord Jesus also has brought revivals in his church. And in that way, the church experienced that his paths drop fatness. The Spirit of God came upon sinners. People were convicted. They were led to repentance. Conversions happened. The Spirit worked among young and old. There have been remarkable outpourings of God's Spirit when the footsteps of the Lord dropped fatness, that people were saved, that dead churches were revived again. Nominal Christians saw the vanity and the sinfulness of their lives, and they were turned to the Lord. People who were lukewarm were converted, that they had burning love and zeal for the Lord. And so God has obviously blessed the preaching of his word. During the preaching of his word, the Lord comes down and his footsteps drop fatness. Hasn't it not happened so many times that sinners were converted, were awakened, that the Lord has done wonderful deeds, his people were enlivened again? It's all his work. The preaching of God's word from man's side is with weakness and with trembling. But fruits come above our expectation because the Lord applies it to the hearts and he crowns the year with his goodness. And we may see his work amongst us. The Lord has been pleased to bless the proclamation of his word in our midst. Maybe you know of times in your life when your soul was as a watered garden. He laid his path through your soul and he dropped fatness and your soul rejoiced in the Lord your Savior. And then all was well and then your heart sang for joy. Is that not a cause to be greatly humbled? So much goodness, so much mercy. Merited for you. And what then is the calling of man in all this? Where does all this goodness lead you? The blessings of daily life? The blessings of spiritual life? Where does that bring us? Maybe think of Romans 2 verse 4. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. And so we see here in Psalm 65, God's goodness proclaimed to us. And what should our response be? When the pastures are filled and clothed with flocks, and the valleys are covered with corn, what should our response be when we may be under the preaching of God's word? What should our response be when the Holy Spirit drips fatness around us? And when hearts are led to commune with the Savior? It should all lead us to humility and repentance. God so good and we so unworthy. God so caring and we undeserving. It's a miracle that the Lord looks down upon people as we are, we who are nothing in ourselves. We have no power over our thoughts. It may be the desire of your heart to to be continually focused upon the Lord and to remember the things that are above. But so often it can be your desire, but your thoughts are distracted. You cannot control your own thoughts and hearts. And then we realize how attached we are to this current world, that sin is so close by, and you realize you cannot even lift up your thoughts to praise God who is in heaven. And it's not only our thoughts, but also our words. Our words are unfitting and unqualified. If we would only control our words, that our speech would be wholesome and uplifting. If only we could testify over the way to heaven as we desire. But we're unable to do that. And therefore David prays in Psalm 19, "Let the words of my mouth be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord." And David prays in Psalm 141, "Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth, and keep the door of my lips." In our thoughts, in our words, we are on our own unable to glorify God for what He has done, but also our deeds. We can't control our deeds. So that our deeds and our workings would be acceptable to God. The Lord Jesus tells us that without Him we can do nothing. And therefore on Thanksgiving's Day, it is so necessary for us to humble ourselves, confessing that we are unable to give proper thanks to the Lord. And then we become very small. Then we see that we are unworthy of so much goodness. All our prosperity was not because of our ability. It was because of God's grace. He set His paths along our lives, and His paths, His footsteps, dropped fatness. And so this goodness of the Lord must lead us to repentance. That means to examine our hearts, to consider our lives, and to lay them open before the Lord and ask the Lord to show you your sins and offenses. Ask the Lord for grace that you can walk in His ways, that you would not be set upon temporal riches. You can take nothing along when you leave this life. And therefore let us cleave to the heavenly treasures, to the Lord Jesus Christ and His righteousness. And we must realize that we also have to give an account of what we've done with the prosperity and the blessings we received. What do we do with our money? Do we seek to promote God's kingdom? Are we frugal and careful? Or do we waste the good deeds, the good blessings God grants us? We are to be responsible. So in all this, this actually calls for a life in Christ. A life not for ourselves, but for Christ. How ungrateful it is to have received so much of the Lord and never to have given truly thanks to the Lord. Never to have a broken heart on account of so much undeserved goodness. Never to have confessed, "Lord, I unworthy, and Thou so good." And so we need Christ, a life with Christ. We need a broken and a melted heart. We need to live daily in the awareness of His grace and goodness. And our hearts can be so dry and barren, so troubled, so ungrateful. And therefore use the means the Lord has instituted. Personal prayer. Are you thirsting for the Lord? Are you telling the Lord that you're desirous for His footsteps in your life? Well, lay that petition before the Lord. And ask the Lord to teach you to be thankful. And ask the Lord to open up Scripture to you. That Scripture would speak to you. That certain texts would jump out at you. And give you food for thought. And that you would lay these texts down before the Lord in prayer. And that you would realize how good God has been to us. And that we fall far below the mark. And then the Lord will also reveal His loving kindness to you. You know, it is so necessary to have a close walk with the Lord. The nearest place to the gate of heaven here on earth is to be at the throne of grace. So the nearest place to the heavenly gate is to be here at the throne of grace. To be much alone with God. To be little alone with God, then your religion will be very shallow. But to be much alone with the Lord, there will be greater blessing. There will be communion with God. This world has no words to express, joy for the blessings God gives. Too many children of God live at a distance. They would receive more joy and more love if they would be close to the bosom of Christ. You can look to the Lord Jesus at a distance, but the closer to Him, the better it is. And then the more you are enabled to truly thank the Lord for all His goodness. And you follow His footsteps. And you trace His goodness. Your eyes are opened. And you're humbled. And you say so much goodness for one who deserves nothing. Then you see on all the pages of Scripture His goodness revealed to you. And then you desire forever to express gratitude for His undeserved mercies. Amen. Most high and majestic Lord God, we confess that Thou art good and that we are unable to give true thanksgiving to Thee. That is angels' work. That is work for the redeemed people of God who will be in heaven without sin or blot or stain, being able to worship Thee and to love and to praise Thy name forever. O Lord, we on earth only try to do that. And so, Lord, we do try to give thanks to Thee for rain and sunshine, for fertility, for health. Also, when there were surgeries, that Thou hast restored us to health, that Thou hast spared us and brought us back into Thy house of worship. We thank Thee, Lord, for those rich privileges. And that the instruction of our children could continue on, although we did it with shortcomings, but wilt Thou crown it with fatness, and that Thy footsteps would be present as we instruct our children here at Sunday school or catechism, but also at the school, Lord, wilt Thou in Thy grace bless our children, and we thank Thee that we may have proper education for our children, that Thou hast made room for us, that Thou hast given beyond our expectations. And so, Lord, we thank Thee for medical care that is present in our country, that many of us may make use of that. And we thank Thee for nurses and doctors and for compassionate care and for all that is given, Lord, in old age homes. We thank Thee for these blessings of daily life. And so, Lord, we thank Thee for safety along the roads and that we may live in a country where there is law and order. And, Lord, at the same time, we pray for the people of Israel, where 700 Israelis have already been killed. O Lord, we pray if Thou wilt comfort all those grieving families. And wilt Thou bring an end to this terrible onslaught. Lord, thou art good to us, but wilt thou comfort those in need, the people of Ukraine? Wilt thou give deliverance when their grain storage facilities are being bombed and when the harvests are being destroyed? We pray thee, Lord, if thy footsteps would yet drop fatness there in that country, as the footsteps of man drop destruction. O Lord, we thank thee for spiritual grace, and we pray thee, wilt thou grant further spiritual life, that the fruits of humility and repentance may be seen in our lives, that we would have a close walk with the Lord Jesus, and that thou wilt be honored in our lives. Go with us this week. Remember us all in mercy, for Jesus' sake. Amen.